Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off.
Sex toys are treated like replacements for people or like things that are going to emasculate somebody. And I'm like, nobody feels emasculated when you use a fork to eat. Nobody feels emasculated when you use a power drill to construct something.
And then my friends were like, don't you masturbate? And I was like, what the fuck is that? I never even thought about
it. It's such a clunky word, too. You have a vulva, there's not like any, not that many cute words for it.
No.
I mean, I say jacking off.
Right.
Like, I've claimed that word for myself.
Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm joined by sex educator Zoe Ligon, and we're talking about, God, so much on this show, from sexual mental health to chastity to dildos. Trust me, this show is chock full. Topics include why it's okay to take a break from dating, sex, or masturbation because we could all use one once in a while. Dildos, there are so many different types, so how do you find the right one for you? So how do you have fun getting into new kinks and exploring with your new partner? And the latest and greatest in the world of sex tech. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com. You're going to love our site. I know it. And you can find me on SiriusXM Radio. I'm there Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Stars 109. And it is such a good time. And if you don't have SiriusXM, you can still call in with your questions, 888-947-8277. And if you want a free trial, you can go to sexwithemily.com/SXM. As always, you can find us on all social media. It's at Sex with Emily across the board. All right, guys, I hope you enjoy this show with Zoe Ligon. Welcome back, Zoe, to the show. It's we're just going to start because there's so much. I love seeing you. Okay, last time we were here, we talked about the unrealistic parts of porn, a myriad of sex toys that were both from Michigan, a lot of the stuff we've gone through. And so what since then? It's been a year. I feel like I love your Instagram. How can people find you on your Instagram?
I'm at Thongria.
Best name.
That's my personal account, but the sex toy store that I own and run is Shop Spectrum Boutique.
Shop Spectrum Boutique. Yes. Check that out. So it's so such a great mix of everything. The toys, the who you are, what you're going through. It's very real and vulnerable, everything that you're putting out there. So what has happened in the last year? Do you feel like there's been any shifts? Let's talk with our industry. Mm. Any shifts in sex that you've seen or with toys or products or anything happening?
There are so many new innovative things. And when people talk about sex tech innovation, I feel that my previous assumption was like, oh, something robotic, something app compatible. But I think that the coolest innovations are things that are actually non-motorized and just like really ingenious shapes.
Tell me.
The New York Toy Collective Jack is a 2-in-1 masturbation sleeve and packer. So it's like, you know how there's those packing penises that you can wear to get a bulge? They created a super soft silicone one that is also a stroker.
Oh.
So it's like a realistic phallus that also is a stroker. And there's like other strokers out there. Most of them are elastomer and not silicone.
Okay.
And none of them look like a penis.
Right.
So just great for gender affirmation. It's hard to, I'm like, why aren't more people making silicone strokers? Because you can get silicone that soft safely these days.
Yeah, so I don't know why. So you're saying it could be in your pant, you could have it as your packer.
Yeah.
But then you're like, oh, and now it's time to masturbate.
Exactly.
And it's there already.
Seamless.
I love a twofer. I love things that work for all.
I do too.
Couples toys. Okay, so it seems like there's definitely more products and companies run by women, made for women by women. A lot of the CBD, THC stuff. Products, like last year at the show, there was... What do you think?
I think that CBD is like, it's interesting that the sex industry has taken CBD under its wing, because I have noticed a lot of crossover, people who used to work in the cannabis industry now getting into the sex industry. There's definitely like a nice friendship between the industries.
I'm surprised, first of all, sex and drugs, like why didn't it happen sooner? But I guess can't, because it's just becoming legal everywhere.
I don't even consider cannabis a drug at this point.
No,
it's like my daily medicine as a card-carrying Michigander.
Right, exactly. How have you found it helps, or others maybe that you hear from too, for sex? Like the lubes and the even just anxiety.
I personally use the Foria Awaken the most. I just like the smell of it, and I'm not usually like a scent and fragrance person, but it's pretty mild. I hate when people use terms like, it's going to change your orgasm, because everybody's experience of it is so different.
Right.
But for me, it just feels like the sensations in my G-spot, or just all of the sensations, feel more easily accessible.
Right.
I have a really hard time feeling like connected to my body and staying present, especially during sex. It's really easy to let your mind wander when you don't feel totally comfortable in your body. And I'm sure we're going to get deeper into this, but like as a very trauma centric educator at the moment, just because I've been unpacking so much childhood and sexual trauma, that it's like, okay, I really need things to get me focusing on what I want to be focusing on.
Right.
Another thing I oddly am really into right now is feather ticklers.
Really?
Yeah, it's something that I've sold for years now and just been like, it's great. It arouses right, like, your senses.
Exactly.
Like, no, I love feather ticklers. I want to like make a deluxe line of feather ticklers because I hate how they're all so inexpensive and fall apart really easily.
Do. Or you get some drags in your lube and there it goes. It's like some soggy feather tickler that doesn't feel good.
It's like body ASMR.
Yeah.
And I just feel really numb in my body a lot. It sucks. Yeah. And it is a different type of stimulation that isn't like touch, but really, you know, gives me the tingles ASMR does.
So, but I love ASMR. Just learning what that is too recently. I did not know. It's like, how do you, it's the sound of things that.
An auditory or sometimes visual, like now people are like, feelings and visual things can set it off, but it's just the sensation of tingles going down your spine, and it's one of those feelings that you know when you feel it and otherwise you don't. I discovered that I was like ASMR sensitive when I went to the eye doctor growing up, because he'd be looking in my eye and be like, so how's school? I'd be like, I'm so uncomfortable.
That's a good one. Exactly. That's so funny. Okay, wait, so tickler. So tell me, like, would it be, if you did start a line of tickler, would it be like different size feathers? Or are you just like,
maybe one that could cover more surface area.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I don't like the idea that feathers come from animals, but like a large, if we could
what
make
we found
more like,
on the ground.
Yeah, like found on the ground feathers. But just more surface area, better adhesives. I don't know.
So tell me how you use the feather, because you're right. And all the things you're saying, I'm like, get this feather tickler. It's really cool for center. But let's go deeper. Tell me about an experience that you've had with a feather tickler.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I did Midori's 4 to Femme in San Francisco last August, I believe. And in her goodie bag, there were two feather ticklers, you know, and I'm like, okay, well, I sell these, you know, like, I'll take them anyway, though, you know.
I'll give it to a friend.
And then my boyfriend was with me in San Francisco, and we, like, open up the bag, and, like, he just ignores everything else, and he's just like, these, I love them. And then it's literally, like, I just lay down on the bed, like, I'm on an examination table, just, like, you know, plopped there naked. And, you know, you can use two at once or one at once, but he'll just like, it's like a massage, but with feathers.
Right.
And it's like not it's inherently like sexual
no, but
either.
All the erogenous zones, and you're tickling them all over your body. I mean,
I know. Hot. And it's also not as strenuous as giving somebody a massage. So I feel like it's a really sweet way that we connect, even if we're not going to like have any other type of intercourse.
Right.
But we just want to be like intimate.
I love
it's
that.
It's like intimacy over sex for me these days. Not that sex isn't part of the equation.
No, when you say sex, we're talking intercourse, and we are on this, right? We're on the same page that like the fact that it's all defined by just penis and vagina sex, which something as educators we talk about, but really like all the time, so many of the questions we get asked in life are like, what's wrong with me? Because I can't orgasm during intercourse.
Yeah.
My penis is getting softer. Then don't have intercourse. Guess what?
Yep.
There's so many other things on the table, everyone. Let's get on board with that. Like if I have any mission, right? Like what else is on the table? And then also just letting people are just, and you realize every day they're shocked. People don't realize that. We somehow feel like we fail if the orgasm doesn't come from intercourse, if you kind of had sex or virginity is just penetration. So the whole thing is like insane to me because there is just dragging feathers. And who knows if you got a feather tickler or you got something else might lead to sex more likely to than just making out with your partner and then sticking it in or doing whatever, which is something that doesn't work for many people.
No. I mean, and so many people learned how to stimulate themselves with humping a pillow or like an armchair or whatever.
How did you learn?
Sex toys.
Really? That was the first thing? You found a sex toy?
Yeah. I had partnered sex for 5 years before I even dreamt of masturbating. It's so weird to think back on what that mental block was, but I think it's, again, one of those blocked off trauma areas where it's like, I don't want to feel my own body with my own hands for whatever reason. So I needed, and I still at present need, a tool that I can use to interact with my body. And that is great. That's lovely for me. But it's like sex toys are treated like replacements for people or like things that are going to emasculate somebody. And I'm like, nobody feels emasculated when you use a fork to eat. Nobody feels emasculated when you use a power drill to construct something. So why is this extension of your hand so different from any other appliance.
Exactly. So what do you say to that when people are like, "Why? I don't need a toy. We don't need that." Or it does feel like it's an affront to my masculinity.
Yeah,
People all the time are like, "Why do I need a toy?" Like, I had this conversation 3 times already today, 3 different interviews. So I just wanted to hear what you say. It probably depends who you're talking to.
Yeah, it's like, it depends on the tone of voice so much as well. First of all, you don't have to use toys, of course. But if you want to use something and you are afraid about bruising somebody else's ego, why are you prioritizing somebody else's needs before your own? I think the way it comes up for me the most is like, I want a sex toy, but something that's like really inoffensive so that my boyfriend won't have a problem with it. And it's, you know, it's generally the male partner who is the person of concern.
Right.
Although it's totally a double standard when it comes to toys for penises, how that is stigmatized as being, you know, weird and creepy.
Exactly. Like, I don't need that. I got the hand. What do I need it for? But it's like, just try it, because sex is this beautiful sensory experience that we're so limited. Like, we just only see, many of us just scratch the surface of what's possible. So what if you did like the stroker? How cool would that be?
Yeah. I'm honestly just getting so excited to get older and feel even more comfortable in my body. I'm 27. I feel like my 20s are just like struggling, clawing my way out of adolescence. I really just want to be an older person with the life experience behind me to make me confident enough to not be this people pleaser who will get all walked over just to like keep the peace, or like, I'm this person who will just like be like, "Oh, like, you decide things." And it's like, I've deprived myself of this autonomy to the point where I have a hard time even figuring out what my actual needs are.
Yeah.
And then if you can't communicate that to somebody, like, how can you expect a partner to just figure everything out for you?
Right.
So that's what is so exciting about sex education for me, is that I truly feel like I learn alongside everybody else. And even if it's a lesson I've already learned, I want to continuously relearn the lesson.
Yeah.
It's just what my brain gets off on.
Yeah, it's true. I think that you're always a teacher and the student, right? I think you're never done learning, and I'm learning. I can never hear things enough sometimes. It's like, and every time you hear something, it's like reading your favorite book. When you go back and read it again, there's always like new things in it. So it's like, it's the same thing about this kind of work we do, because it hits you at different points in your life. But also like the feather ticker is a great example. I've heard about, now I can't wait to go home. Like, I've got 6 of them next to my bed and they're just sitting there. I know what they are. And maybe I've tried it years ago, but it always lands differently. If you're with different partners, you're in a different space. I want to go back to something you said about not masturbating. So this is something that I just came up with this year, because I've been doing some trauma work as well. It was more like emotional trauma work around it, but any kind of trauma is all trauma.
A lot of mine's emotional.
Emotional
as well.
Too. And I always thought to myself, I didn't masturbate either. I was having sex for 4 or 5 years before I even heard of masturbation.
Cut from the same cloth,
literally.
Me and you.
So I was like, in college, I must have been like 21. I was like, okay, guys, what is the big deal about sex? Like, my boyfriend comes in from Michigan State, pounding away at me. I was in Michigan. I'm like, I
pounding
like him.
Away, truly.
Pounding,
that's all
like,
they know how to
pounding.
Do sometimes.
And they don't know at 18, 19.
No.
And then my friends were like, don't you masturbate? And I was like, what the fuck is that? I never even thought about
it. It's such a clunky word, too. You have a vulva, there's not like any, not that many cute words for it.
No.
I mean, I say jacking off.
Right.
Like, I've claimed that word for myself.
Good, right. It's better than masturbation. I don't even like, there's so many words I don't love around sex. I just want cunnilingus. I want to change a lot of the words, a lot of the phrasing around sex, even just rebranding sex overall.
I
know. So anyway, what I realized was, I was like, well, then I got mad. I was like, why didn't anyone tell me about it? And then you hear all the stories about women who were like, riding a horse at 8 or a bike, and or they were in the shower and they had an orgasm at 9, and they've known. I was like, well, why didn't I ever think about it? And then I realized, I think I had a lot of anxiety and trauma going up, that there was no, I was like, probably went to bed every night like wound up in a ball, that I wasn't like, let me explore, let me feel. So same thing for me, that sex was often very like, it wasn't until I started masturbating, buying toys, that I actually learned to feel stuff during sex.
Yeah.
And then doing trauma. Have you done like trauma therapy at all? Have you done like EMDR? Are you doing talk therapy?
I haven't done that. I'm in talk therapy. I have tried various energy work things, and I'm going to try more things. And it's funny, because I feel like I always need to preface that by saying, like, I was raised with a lot of like woo-woo stuff, Chinese medicine, homeopathy, you know, my mom had macrobiotic food for me. I, you know, the first meat I ate was rabbit meat, like just alternative lifestyle in the early 90s. So it's funny because my therapist was like, you know, it's okay if you don't want to try this out, but sometimes energy work really helps people, but I also know it's a trigger for you potentially.
Right. Oh, I get
that.
But
I was like, oh, I'm down to try more stuff if you have a person you really want to recommend to me.
I would recommend it just because it's more like, it's like scientifically proven to help people with trauma, the way it works in your brain. It's not, I thought it was wooey too, but it's not wooey. It's like, you basically go through your, and it reprocesses the way your brain is, and that when using these little buzzers, it's funny, they're little vibrators you hold in your hand. Not real vibrators, but they're, so it's interesting to get to learn your body, but I think whether you have trauma or not, for so many women, we are shut down and we're not, so we started this conversation talking about like marijuana, or weed, or how could, pot with my Michigan accent. With you know, like using things like that to get into the mood and to, and that's why I love like sensory play or vibrators or toys, because so many of us are still under the belief that, and I get it now because with the Sirius show too, it's like callers from all over the States.
That's so cool.
It's really cool. It's really cool. And it's like, oh yeah, you're like me, but you're 40, you're 50 now, and you're in Michigan still, or Ohio, or anywhere, Florida, you're even in California, parts of California, and it's still like everything else but penetrative sex is wrong, and I'm not having pleasure, and I've never had pleasure, and then just trying to get people into like just experimenting and trying and opening up, because a lot of us, like I said, whether trauma or not, we're still shut down and we haven't had orgasms and we haven't had, you know, what kind of questions are you getting asked most of the day? We feel like there's trends here that happen, and I feel like a lot of it is just about, I can't focus during sex, I'm no longer, I'm not mindful, I can't have orgasms, and a lot more pegging questions lately.
Yeah, those too. I have noticed, especially since I've started doing my own like sex adjacent podcast called Hot Brain with My Boyfriend.
Hot Brain with My Boyfriend.
It's great because he is not in the sex industry, so I love hearing his impressions of all the questions we get asked, because I'm like immune to everything at this point. And he was like picking up on the fact that so many questions are asking about asexuality. And
interesting.
I think that, I mean, we know that roughly 1% of the population is asexual. And it's also very interesting because I made a post, there's like a butt plug that Blush came out with that had the colors of the asexual pride flag. And I posted that, and it was so interesting how there was a group of asexual folks who were like, this is so awesome. I love that there's like asexual pride flag colors on a butt plug. And
love,
you know,
all of that. Yeah. Asexual pride colors on a butt plug is like my favorite sentence.
But then you might also say, okay, asexual, why would there be a butt plug with the asexual pride flag colors? Pleasure is a different thing from sexuality. And it actually started a controversy in the comments, because there were a lot of asexual people who were like, I like, who don't enjoy pleasure whatsoever, and they were like, don't misrepresent asexuals as people who, you know, want to use a butt plug. And, you know, I wasn't making a statement one way or the other, but it was interesting to see asexual folks who do enjoy stimulation, whether it's with themselves or with a partner they're romantically attracted to, and then the people who are just like, this is misrepresentation. And I think everybody's correct. Like,
we all get to choose what it means to you with anything, right? You're just like trying to show about, so you get a lot of asexual. So is it people saying, I think I'm asexual. Do you think I am? Because I think people think they are because they don't desire sex.
Exactly.
But they're not.
Yeah, you don't have an entire sex life and then not have sex and suddenly you're asexual. Right. Another controversial thing is whether there is a spectrum. I think that the, you know, demisexuality, like asexuality and sexuality, just like romantic attraction, is a spectrum. But again, in this butt plug debacle,
butt plug
part
debacle
of what
only
came
in
up
our
was,
business, is there a butt bug debacle? And it's a real debacle.
Again, there was like people who were like, I'm asexual and there's no such thing as a spectrum. You're misrepresented. It was just so, I mean, it was fascinating to me as somebody who is sexual, but also, you know, is trying to do their best to educate, you know, from a third person standpoint. Very interesting stuff. Yeah. But I do think that we are in a particularly intense time to be sexually active right now, not just because of what is socially and politically happening. I think that people are addressing trauma more. I think that just generally when your brain is more unpacking of things in the world around you, and there's more language and awareness around sexual dynamics, it feels a lot more scary to dive back in with that self-awareness of sexuality.
Yeah.
So sometimes just the education itself makes us want to take a step back to recalibrate. Like, I think the trend for me is like, you know, being a sex educator isn't like, I'm having this wild and crazy sex life, or like, I'm even good at sex. Right. Like, you don't know if I'm good at sex. Exactly. I might be terrible at it.
Right, exactly.
I mean, I'd like to think I know,
you know,
the things I could do to make it better. But
I love how open you are too. Right, exactly. Like, I know how to get there, but sometimes we don't want sex. I'm not having sex all the time at all.
Yeah.
No, in fact, I've been on this little break for about like 6-7 months.
Hell yeah.
You know, it's a lot. It's literally, I don't know if I've gone this long before, but I was like, I'm so not interested. I was like, I've been in this, people were like, well, is it like you're sick of it? People were like, do you just get sick of talking about sex? Because do you having sex? Because you talk about it all the time. I'm like, chefs still eat, right? But right now I've just been, I'm not even, I don't think I'm asexual, but no, I've just, like I said, working on other things and friends and family, but it's funny all those things that go out there, but I love that. And I love that you do a great job of this on your Instagram, and I have not listened to your Hot Brain podcast yet, but I'm sure it's okay. Awesome.
I never like make my friends listen to it. You know what I mean? I'm never like, why didn't you listen to my podcast,
ever.
Emily?
I don't assume that anybody listens, and when my friends do, I'm shocked.
That's how I feel as well.
I'm like, oh my God, thanks. I'm not a pusher.
Yeah,
I'm like, you can listen or not. We're friends before and after. I'm not pushing my stuff onto you.
I think it's interesting how sex breaks are so relative. Because I have friends who are like, it's been 3 days. And then my friends who haven't had sex for years are just like, please give me a break.
Exactly. Right. No, it's right. People are like, oh, it's been a month. It's been whatever. But it was just like, yeah, I wasn't feeling it, you know, at this point. What I love is your Instagram, that you are so open about your confidence. And even though you're not, like, a picture you post, you're like, I know, usually I'll post pictures of my tummy looking flatter, but this is how I am, and turning around. And I think for some, you're a beautiful woman and smart, and just to be like, this is who I really am, and in all the different poses and faces. And how would you explain that to you? Was it through posting things or through just being you that helped with the confidence, or have you always had this confidence? And I get it's all like up and down every day.
Confidence is so different than
elusive.
Self-esteem. Like, do I have confidence? Yes. Do I have self-esteem? I'm working on it.
Right. And it's such a good point. Let's talk about that for a minute.
I think it's interesting too, because I think the way I worded that post specifically about my stomach, I didn't use any words like fat or body positivity, but I still had a lot of people saying, you know, body positivity isn't for thin women. And I completely recognize that it wasn't created by and for people who look like me. But at the same time, you just never know what's going on in somebody's brain.
Right.
You can't look at someone's body and know if they have an eating disorder or not.
Right.
But it was a great learning experience for me as well. I love when people are correcting me on stuff like that. But the truth of the matter is that my entire life I've had people walk up to me and be like, congratulations on your baby.
Right.
And like to have
never
people
say that to anyone ever.
No, never do. And just having glimpses of the way the outside world would look at me, I guess I wasn't born feeling uncomfortable in my skin, but also I was like a studio dance student for a decade, and being the tallest girl who's also the largest in your class, like I was always, you know, stuck in the back because I was so big, you know, quote unquote, relative to every other girl in the class. So it's like, it's really society reinforcing these messages. God, it really is so much about like needing to take a step back from clothes and makeup and beauty and all the messages we're sent. Like even just landing in LA, leaving Detroit, and like I went to a restaurant and I was genuinely just like, where the fuck am I?
Right.
You can, I mean, like, I think I'm starting to learn about
because all the the beauty or the showy or whatever,
or like
is
fillers.
Oh yeah, that the
plastic
different
surgery, which like I'm not here to say whether that's right for you or not, but that's
it's
just not
in Michigan.
It's just not in Michigan.
It's not in Michigan.
It is not.
When I moved to LA from Michigan, or it was from San Francisco. Well, actually, it wasn't in San Francisco either, to be honest. But when I moved here, I was like, oh, I didn't realize everyone's breasts are fake, or everyone. It's just a different zero to judgment, but it's almost like, whoa, like where. You
honestly,
see, it's jarring.
The closer I feel like my body is to the supposed standard of what society thinks beauty is, the less good I feel about myself.
Interesting.
And some of the most confident times I've been are, you know, when I maybe was less like that social norm.
So explain that for a minute. What do you think that is?
I think it's just this preoccupation, like so many other things that we use to distract ourselves. It's like if we can focus on perfecting this external shell of ours, it's a really convenient distraction from what's going on inside of our hearts and our minds.
Right.
I'd rather be worrying about the way I look than my childhood trauma.
Right.
And I don't think that's why everybody...
But you're saying, though, the time for you that you feel the best, though, is when you're not worrying about your body,
oh,
which is
absolutely.
So great, which is so, like... But it's just getting people to pry themselves yeah. away from that. Like, you'll be okay, actually, when you focus on other things. But you're so right. It's about this... When you're always striving to the outset for perfection, it's about control, right? Which doesn't really...
I've honestly learned a lot about that from my boyfriend because he feels like one of the most upsetting things for him is when people are basing their opinion of somebody on very like vain external factors. And he's really kind of made me recognize how much I still have to undo, like, you know, my impressions of like people, you know, like pretty privileged things or like just... putting too much importance. It's not that like, oh, disregard aesthetic in the world altogether, but just putting so much of an emphasis on like humans having any, like connecting human worth at all to an image is so sad and damaging for everybody.
But he's helped you realize that yeah. through just seeing how you, that you're doing it or just his opinion? Because I feel like you have such a distinct, and I'm talking about your Instagram or the image.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I definitely don't have this stuff figured out at all.
Right.
But also unpacking my own understanding of like how I need to keep and maintain my body.
Right.
I mean, now I have a short haircut and I love my short hair.
Oh, my God. I love it.
But it was definitely, I knew going from boob length hair to a pixie cut, it was going to be a challenge for me in feeling connected to my femininity, mm-hmm. which is, again, bullshit because femness has nothing to do with the length of your hair.
Right.
But being like, oh, this is my security blanket and I'm going to rip off my security
That's
blanket.
Very brave.
And, you know, like, I think
it
hair.
It is. I did it last year. I was like, oh, this year. I was like, I came in my shower. I was like, I have short hair. I don't feel great. Like, I was like, ugh. Then it's true, though. It's a thing for women, too, when you don't have it. How do you still feel pretty? And then it... Then you realize I still, it's such a good exercise.
Yeah.
And then you just like, let it go. It doesn't take me long, but you're like, okay, I'm still myself. I'm still carrying myself. It really doesn't matter. Everyone sees me that way, but there's something about hair.
Yeah. And
it's like,
I think it's also just getting a little bit older and having a better, like, don't fuck with me face. But I've also had this realization that, like, I'm not being like catcalled as much, which I'm very happy about, but I'm also like, I'm not getting all the unsolicited attention I used to get when I was younger. And I think really wanting to draw attention with my body, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it was a double-edged sword of like, I want to, like, I love attention. Let's be mm-hmm. real. Every human
yes.
being wants attention, but like,
it's so funny. I know what you're talking about. No, dude, I'm there. I'm like, I used to hate it. I got so much attention all the time from, and I was like, it's too much, like wherever I went.
And then people
and
are
then
like, oh, well,
getting,
why are you complaining?
Yeah.
At least people like you. You're going to miss it when you're older. That's
right.
The thing catcallers would say to me too. Well, you're going to miss it one day.
Right. And then you stop. Well, and then it stops. And then
you
you're
asshole.
Like, okay, am I not? No, but then you're like, okay. Or days when you just don't feel, you're like, I haven't got catcalled at all. What does it mean about me? It's just messed up. And then
yeah,
you're
they
like,
program
who doesn't
you.
Love attention? It's that whole thing. Of course we do. I have a show called Sex with Emily, but I realized, well, I started it 14 years ago, but I was like, I think there was something.
Congratulations, 14
Thank you.
Years. Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. It's a lot. Thank you.
So cool.
It was funny because I always was having about men and attention. And then once I started the show, I got a lot of attention. I think I like finally mm-hmm, was like, mm-hmm. And then the show also gave me more confidence just in my, you know, to be not only to be an educator, but then to be a businesswoman and all these things. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break and we come back even more, Zoe. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
Confidence is something that we can like foster and cultivate and grow and like create, yeah. But self-esteem is so within.
Let's talk
within.
About the difference. Yeah. I know it intellectually, but I haven't really thought about like, because there is the fault. Like, I think I've always been confident to do things and take on the world. Like, right. I have been. I don't feel like I feel like I can do anything. But I do struggle with self-esteem. And I think some days it's better, some days it's off. But I do work on it. And I've had to do that through positive affirmations. Like, not in like, I am great, I can do everything. But truly, like, meditation. Having things around my house that help me. Talking, just getting the toxic people or anyone who's negative out of my life. And having people in my life who do help me, not in a false way, but, you know, like build me up. Or yeah. Even my staff has to deal with like, was that good? Was that a good show? Was that after 14 years? So there's a part of me that's like, come on, Emily, really? Are we really doing this? But
I also... Objective input to an extent.
Objective input,
I think something my boyfriend, Mark, his name, I'll say use his name, Mark.
Mark,
something
he's Mark your podcast,
says to me,
yeah.
He'll be like, what are you trying to prove to people? Like, it looks, seems like you're trying to prove something. Or he'll say that about other people. It's like, yeah, they're really trying to prove something to somebody. Like when somebody comes in just being like, with a presence that feels very much for other people and not for themselves. Like right. I'm trying to convince the external world that I am valid and worthy because I don't feel that way inside. And he had said that to me for so long. And it was only recently that I was just like, oh my God, like, the key is not trying to like prove anything to anybody else other than myself. Like right. if I feel good about me and what I'm doing, then who cares?
Exactly. And you get there. It feels like you're doing such good work.
Yeah. But I think that everybody has a struggle with both confidence and self-esteem.
It's true. It's really true. But I think first of all, just admitting that you have a problem, that you have a challenge around it, just knowing that we all do. And
it's
then
just
there was
realistic.
Instagram. It is totally realistic. And even for men too, how do they get their confidence up? Is it a rewiring from childhood? Is a lot of it because something happened and we didn't feel great? And how do you continually?
Yeah, it's so much about socialization, mm-hmm. and you know, how are you socialized and what lessons did you pick up at a very, very early age that don't serve you
right.
anymore?
And realizing and checking, going, okay, that is something that I heard from my family or my religious affiliation. Mm. And now, oh yeah, maybe that's not so true to me anymore. And you get to decide at every age to take a look, or every time in your life when you're like, where is this? If we can just learn to do it on our own, or you have a great partner, or sounds like your boyfriend's great. Is he here?
No, he's not. He's back in Michigan.
So how is it? I want to ask you something that everyone asks me. Uh-huh. I know you've been friends with him for a while. Mm-hmm. But truly, do you feel like there was a certain expectation when you guys were having sex finally that like, whoa, Zoe's got the sex toys and the thing and the
No. Definitely. Well, relative
what
to
do
other...
sex toys?
Relative to other relationships, definitely not, because it was just built up on like common interests and an emotional bond. Like for me, the biggest moment was talking about the issues I had emotionally and then being like, here's a book I'm reading about it. And then he like went out and got the book and read it himself. God. I didn't ask him
so
to.
He's, right.
So it's like that type of stuff that I get hot for me.
Me too. Yeah. A guy who's going to get into my stuff with me and he's in therapy and he wants to do the work is really hot. And then, but then also making sure it doesn't go into like a codependency side of it.
And that line is
It's a very tricky line, but I think in some ways we are, there is a healthy codependence and then there's unhealthy and then it's always a line. And as long as you know what it is to keep checking in with it, because I've been down that road too. I feel like I've always been going through stuff, which has made me who I am, but then having people that aren't just like living for my stuff. But they're helping me through it in a way that's healthy is a whole thing. But I'm glad that you're with them. It seems like you do seem that you're a calmer, not calmer, but more confidence, I want to say, or energy that's just different.
It's weird to not to be as sexually monogamous as I have been for this long. That is weird.
So now you are sexually monogamous.
It's right. Like there is, we're monogamish.
Right.
But, you know, for all intents and purposes, like, I'm learning so much more about myself through being essentially monogamous than I have ever learned before. Because so many things are coming up for me.
Like, would you want, because I always say that you do your best work, I think, in relationships for sure. So, what kind of things around sex, maybe, have you learned in the last year?
Yeah, that sex was 100% a trauma distraction tool. And while I enjoyed a lot of the sex I had, it's so much easier to not think about your uncomfortable feelings about X, Y, and Z when you're like knee deep in a sensory experience and like feeling infatuated with a new person and like all those intense feelings that come with a new hookup, a new endeavor. And like it is really dehumanizing for the people that I was having sex with. I feel like I probably passed up a lot of amazing humans because I was just trying to, again, focus on the external factors. Right. What did they do? What's their dick like? Right. How do they talk to me? Like, who are they friends with? And like, I don't think I was that exaggeratedly vapid.
But we could all relate to those things.
Exactly.
Right.
It's like, who cares? Who cares how somebody dresses? How or whatever? You know.
Right.
I mean, clearly, you want to get along with somebody, but
so you're saying that now the sex with your boyfriend is more intimate, or it's more connected?
Definitely. I'm like, did I ever have intimate sex, or was it all just like
was it all just like an experience to take yourself away from it, but without the emotion? Because you didn't have access to it maybe at that point, but through the work you've been doing and then having this wonderful man come into your life,
trying to have sex like a porn star, you know, and not, which is cool, but definitely trying to be like, I've got tricks,
right? Exactly.
Instead of like, let's have our hearts bond.
But right, which sounds like not sexy, but it is actually, I get it, the depth. To me, I crave that, but it's, I don't terrifying. Think I always did. But what about porn and sex, having sex? Like, I fucking find it so fascinating.
We could talk about porn forever.
I feel like, and this is where the difference I've seen, even in the last year, and I don't, and I feel like there are, it's no, but that porn, and I'm always like, I'm cool on porn, like use it in moderation if it's for the right things and not for like, that you don't want to meet people and leave your house and now you can no longer get an erection because of all the porn. But I do feel like it is becoming more and more of a problem, especially for people who grew up with it. I just feel like it's maybe because my friends have kids who are now in that age, like 13, 14, or even 18. And they're like, they don't want to leave the house. They don't want to meet anybody else. Or my friends who are having sex with women or men, they're like, they're just acting like it's in porn, or they're choking without consent. Like all these things that it's like, I don't know what. I feel like there's like a kind of a crisis around it right now. We have to unlearn all this. I don't know what to do about it. I mean, you're doing education, I'm doing education, but do you see that it's more so lately? Have you felt that?
Yeah, it's weird too to hear like literally NPR addressing it, but not having any sex educators there to shed some light on how we can handle it, because they're just like, here's the problem. And
I hate when they do that.
But
it's
I think the
CNN thing about sex, like here's all the problems with sex in the world, but what's the solution?
If we were just able to talk about sex education, if parents felt like they had the tools to be like, here's some age-appropriate ways I can check in with my kid if they have encountered porn, or how I can ask them if they've seen anything they need to talk about, or get, you know, just get them the resources that are age-appropriate.
That's what we need to do.
Because if they're going to see it, so the solution is not removing devices or putting protection, ad block, whatever.
I know that.
Doesn't work. Yeah, have a conversation about it. No parent wants to do that, because we live in a society that, like, the parent is so uncomfortable right. with sex that they're not going to be able to help their child out at all.
Exactly. I mean, so we got to educate the parents,
too. A few gifted
too.
Parents perhaps can navigate it without any education, but right. it's like, I don't blame parents for not knowing how to handle it, but also like... The resources are out there and nobody's talking about them.
But what are the best resources you think for parents right now that you think exist?
I think just being aware of the reality of it, in a non-fear-mongering way. Right. It's hard because it's like we are at this point where we understand it's a problem and we don't have like a universal, accessible way to talk or to be educated about it. I'm hoping that there are some books, parenting books written about it. I'm sure I brought this up.
Working on it.
Yeah.
No, we're working on it. But I just feel like the more, I mean, because then I want to move on. I got to talk to you about some toys here that I'm dying to talk to you about. I just think if parents admit that this is weird for me, no one ever talked to me about it. And I don't even really know how to talk to you about it, son, daughter. But I want to keep it open. This is not a one-time conversation. If you see anything that's uncomfortable, let me know. Or let me show you this scene I just saw in this TV show that's kind of reminding me, like telling them stories about it or showing them examples. Or if there's an article in the paper about something like, oh, this reminds me of, and then using that as a teachable moment because they're everywhere.
Yeah, well, it's like there's sexual ads everywhere. I mean, truly the media is like pumped up with sex and then we're like, but sex in this other format is a completely different story. And like, obviously it's different. But I mean, without being an educator who specifically knows how to talk to kids, I would just be like, look at this crazy billboard. Like, isn't it, you know, like I'd be like, what do you think about that?
Exactly.
Like, have them, there's ways you can prompt kids without like being their friend in a weird way.
But that's the also thing, you know, like, hey, tell me if you get a blowjob.
Also not being like a dictator.
There was something I saw the other day, they were talking about how, it was like a scene in a TV show and the mom said she was watching with her teenage daughter and said, so, did you see how this person's treating this young woman here in maybe their high school relationship?
Yeah.
I don't, you know, that doesn't look like it's very healthy. Like, how would you feel if a boy treated you like that? Because there's, and then just using it, like, you're already watching the show instead of being like, don't watch it or pretending that scene isn't happening. So I thought that was just a really good advice to parents to look around you every day for examples of things.
Yeah, I think just being silent about it is not, like, I think people are afraid of saying it. And like, sure, you can say the wrong thing, but if you're like doing your research, even if it's just like reading a few articles, like that is so much more than most people have to go off of. Like, I think just addressing it and trying to be transparent is the best you can do. Or just being like, hey, I know this is a thing. I'm not really sure like how to talk to you about this, but if you ever need to talk about it, like that is so much better than nothing.
And we're gonna keep doing nothing.
They might be like, mom, but
right, like two people had sex and that's why we're here. Like, let's not make it this shameful thing. Okay, let's go back to Anne Me for a second, which is the adult novelty show that we're going to. So my experience has been like, I'm on the press side, I'm coming, but you like are going to buy great products for Spectrum Boutique, which is your boutique. So how do you like so much there? Like, what do you look for? Or do they prep you ahead of time? Look for this thing, look for that.
I was just at the Expos retreat in Miami.
Oh.
So I feel like it primed me well for going to Anne Me this year because I'm like,
good, give me some shortcuts.
I'm really excited about finding more niche things because I'm like, I've got a lot of vibrators. I got a lot of dildos. I definitely want to get more strokers and sleeves that aren't like
that aren't
like made from toxic sex toy materials. Or like, I'm really excited about like chastity, like cock cages.
Let's talk about that cock cage.
I have so many thoughts about cock cages.
Please go. So, I don't think we've talked about them ever. Let's explain it, the whole thing.
So CBX is a company that carries a really high quality cock cage, so high quality that like people are constantly ripping it off and selling it inexpensively on Amazon.
CBX?
Yeah, definitely do not buy on Amazon when it comes to cock cages. You'll buy something that can like scar your penis, literally.
Public service announcements from Zoe Ligon. Great, okay.
CBX just got new owners. The previous owners passed away and they did a lot of research when they were like taking over this cock cage company. They didn't really know much about it. And they were like, apparently most people who are into cock cages, I mean, there's certainly some kinksters who are, but there's a lot of like heterosexual cis men who are vanilla. It's like, just like
a
lot of vanilla
men. But they want the cock in a cage
men.
That like their partner has the chastity cages.
And so much of it has, I mean, to us, we might still define it as kink, but I guess I call them vanilla in the sense that these aren't people who are engaging in other aspects of kink.
Like, this is it. Mm-hmm. Cock cage.
Like, one...
It's Don't try to blindfold me or spank me. I'm just putting my cock in a cage. Done.
So much of what I have to go off is anecdotal things I hear from customers, too.
Honey, I don't know. You tell me.
There's a lot of people who, again, mostly heterosexual vanilla couples are like, my wife has never had an orgasm and I'm putting my dick in a cage because in solidarity. That's the thing I hear a lot. I also hear...
Hopefully his mouth's on a cage and then he could provide orgasms other ways. Like, she has an orgasm yet... But I just feel like you put your cock in a cage. But
the solution, but it's like part of the
psyche,
like,
the play, the psyche.
Yeah, it's like power, intimacy in a different way. And going. I think for these people, it's also just like it isn't a replacement for sex, but it's as exciting.
It is.
Perhaps mentally. Another thing is I've cheated on my wife and now to get, you know, on the same footing again, I'm putting my dick in a cage. That's another thing I hear a lot.
Okay.
Which I'm like, hey, you know, if that is something you two have negotiated, that is great.
Yeah.
But then, of course, there's like the kinky side of it as well. I think it's so hard with anything sex researchy to get like an overall view on what it's about.
No, but I think it's good to let people know that that's an option. I don't think maybe they're like, oh, yeah, like I didn't know it was a cage that could be the fetish that helps me figure out how to make my, you know, whatever my fantasy is.
It's also just like sensory deprivation and like the orgasm denial thing can be very hot aside of all those other things as well. Sometimes it's like just not having access to your dick and then how highly sensitive it feels when it comes out of there.
That I can see.
Yeah.
That I can totally get that.
Or just like, this feels naughty. This feels taboo. I have... had one partner who tried it out with me and like we had a fun time. It wasn't like our bread and butter or anything, but we went out one night and he was wearing his dick in a cage and it was like definitely way more exciting for him than it was for me. I mean, like, I was into it, but I was also just like, cool, like, teehee, you know,
like, what's for dinner? Not as exciting to you. Okay, so what about you have a video on your Instagram of balls that you can attach to dildos and vibrators.
Wait, oh yes.
It's like, I've never seen that before. You can actually feel the balls.
It's by the same company that makes the two-in-one.
Oh, no, no.
New York Toy Collective, Stroker, and Packer. It's the same company. So the Love Bump is like silicone balls. It's like a cock ring.
I want them. Will they be at the show?
I can totally bring you a little set of balls.
Bring me some balls.
Yeah, you can make any dildo have balls
so much more
or
realistic.
Your wrist, and people like the slapping sensation and like the weight of balls hitting your body. And usually when balls are like molded into the same thing as the dildo, they don't have as much mobility to like slap around and, you know, like truck nuts.
Yeah. No, I get it. It makes so much sense. I was like, oh my God, I got to ask about that. And then also, okay, dildos, the bespoke dildos.
I just love the term bespoke.
Bespoke.
Because I think the definition is for a very particular user, which I just think is so funny.
Right.
Because anything could be bespoke.
It's true.
But
I know, like, my friend runs a bespoke wine. It's called literally bespoke wines and bespoke dildos, bespoke everything. Right.
So I think I specifically, you're probably looking at the what I've been calling the vagildos, the veggie dildos.
Amazing.
They're
beautiful.
From Germany.
Okay.
And they're basically, some of them are literal like life castings of actual produce, and some are like more like cartoony interpretations of produce, but they're all silicone, like heat sensitive, so they change color.
Wow.
I personally like the asparagus dildo the best. I also like the big corn dildo the best.
Okay. Because you've tried... but dildos are something we don't often like... I haven't tried a ton of dildos.
Well, I think we probably talked about this last
time. Size queen, right.
Size queen and wand queen. So I'm just kind of like, let's see how this goes.
Right.
And like, I'll use the slimmer shapes as well just to get a feel for how they
you own a shop. You got to try them all.
Honestly, our best-selling dildo is a very particular dildo called the Polka Dot Jolette.
Okay.
J-O-L-L-E-T. And it is a dildo that is based off of an internal casting of the vaginal canal. So it's essentially supposed to fill up every nook and cranny. It kind of like where the pubic bone hits, it is a little bit thinner. And then it kind of like bulges out beyond there. I mean,
what's
you really have
Gillette?
If you search polka dot Gillette, Jollet. So
Spectrum Boutique,
the couple that makes this dildo. I mean, like, the polka dots in it are part of the appeal for sure, but, you know,
the shape
itself is fucking awesome. And it's also a lot more intense than it looks. Like, you might look at that and look like, oh, it's just kind of like a curvy dildo, but it is really
intense.
It's kind
of like a prostate toy, but for the vagina.
You've got it. Exactly. Wow. But they literally found a way, like a body safe way of filling up a vaginal canal with like this special, the guy who makes it basically makes a lot of different like mechanical, like, I don't know, I don't think I can like say his full job, but he just like, he's like a materials specialist.
Okay.
So it's like definitely like high quality silicone, but people are always like, how did they get the mold of the vagina? And like, he and has explained it to me so many times that essentially it's this like soft mold that can like harden without harming the vaginal canal. And he took a cast and made a dildo out of the shape that he got. And it's fucking awesome.
Okay, did not know this.
I found out about this specific dildo through Hey Epifora, the sex toy reviewer, who was one of my very first sex toy blogs I stumbled upon, you know, 6 or 7 years ago when I got into this industry. But I was like, why doesn't anybody carry this thing? I want to see what this is about.
That's so fun because you can really go pick some things that are really unique that people don't find anywhere, which is so great.
Bespoke dildos.
Okay, what are harnesses? Mm-hmm. I feel like when I was saying things have been changing this year, asking about pegging, it's always been a thing. But what I love is that in the last few years, there's been more men on their own. Like usually it's like just saying like, I'm interested, and women on board too. And they're like couples. What do we do? Where do we go for pegging? So let's talk about harnesses. Like it used to be one or the other.
I heard.
Now they're coming together.
I have to share. I think it was the educator Carly S who comes up on Twitter if you search Carly S. But Dildo, I have to remember her blog name. I'll send it to you later. But I think she had this tweet that was like, it's cute that straight people need a special term for strap-on sex. Like, if you need a special term for strap-on sex to make it feel cool
pegging?
And need pegging, like...
Pegging? Don't people even know what pegging is?
It's just so
on the show,
it is strap-on sex, but it's like... this special term for
maybe
like
because like, men need strap on
I know
sex.
But like I still use the term pegging
but I think it's better.
Think it's funny that there is a special term for straight people who want to have strap
same
on sex
same fucking thing right
it is the same fucking thing
yeah okay so strap on sex
yeah I mean like I don't think the word there's anything
no,
wrong
but,
with
but
the term
but no one fucking
yeah.
knows what pegging is and
yeah.
I'll be on my like my serious show people are like my friends in Michigan and even in San Francisco like they're listening and they're like what's pegging every time I'm like okay.
yeah well strap I wrote on sex. One article about pegging years ago and to this day I'll just have people be like hey are you the pegging lady hey I'm like listen I mean like
so
I've,
many other things.
I've pegged but like
right I do so many things do you know what else is in my wheelhouse but what do you like let's talk about
just strap on sex in general
in general or things you like
totally
yeah.
there are
and I have not done it I've never strapped on
I've
sex to anyone
done it
strapped on
I've had a handful of pegging and strap-on sex experiences. Again, not my bread and butter.
Right.
I love it, though. Like, honestly, I would have a lot more strap-on sex than I'm currently having. It's kind of just like, it has to be with the right person.
Right.
And I think for me, it's like, I generally want to be the wearer, but it also like brings up a lot of weird trauma feelings for me, but like in a way that I really enjoy the growth of feeling connected to sexuality through a harness and silicone dick, essentially.
Yeah.
But it's like, I really, really love it, but it puts me into such a vulnerable headspace that I have to be really like...
careful with it because of eroticizing trauma, which can work, but also, is that what you're talking about? Like, it's
yeah,
that like...
Well, I think what also is weird for me is how some people think that strap-on sex is a fetish or a kink. And I think that's also like a really straight person's view of strap-on sex as well.
It's just another
I don't
place
see
to
it...
penetrate where we all have so many holes.
Exactly.
It can feel good. Try it. You never
for
tried
me,
it.
For me, it's
it.
Like even more... more intimate in some ways and like less kink oriented than just about any other kind of sex because it's like I'm paying a lot of attention to what's going on in my body and the receiver's body Yeah, I need to be the recipient of strap-on sex still. So putting a call out.
You've never had the recipient.
I've been the strapper honor.
Okay, so being the strapper honor, you know how you were saying that you didn't get a lot of pleasure from the cock cage? What about the strap-on part of it is giving you pleasure? The dominance or the seeing your partner in pleasure?
I'm such like, I'm totally a bottom even when I'm wearing a dick.
Right. I hear you. I get it.
But I think for me, it's like just truly looking at my, or not looking at, it's like feeling my body in a whole new way. It is not for me aesthetically about wearing the harness and a dildo. Right. It's more about like feeling connected to a new extension of myself. Just like when I'm using a vibrator, it's not like, it's like it feels like it becomes a part of me. Just like when I'm wearing clothes, it's like this is me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something that is attached to my arm now.
Right.
You know, but I guess in just a more like to take a step yeah. back about harnesses back. In general, because like I'm not really a person who has like all the strap-on sex. You know,
totally. I actually was just thinking about with the ones you like, even products wise, or what you hear
yeah,
from people.
Yeah, I personally recommend the Jock by Spare Parts, which is just a classic go-to because it's machine washable.
Love it.
I think that leather is great aesthetically, and vegan leather. It's can be just as comfortable, but it's not, you can't disinfect it.
Which is so important for
strap-on. Yeah. I mean, and you can't technically, I guess the correct word is sanitize or just clean, because nothing can be like fully disinfected. Nothing in this world is sterile. But I think that it's better to get a cloth harness if you're just starting out, because then you know, especially if you don't have a committed partner that you're looking to have strap-on sex with, then you definitely want something you can wash.
Right.
But leather is great for so many other reasons. It definitely like creates a different silhouette. The harnesses by Aslan are kind of like the Aslan Jaguar is probably one of the most popular leather harnesses.
All
but
right.
I also like the cloth ones because you can slip bullets in them.
I like the bullets because then it's going inward. And then if you're the giver, you can also have a little bit of vibrant bullet.
A little
something for yourself. So there's fun for the whole family.
When it comes to double-ended dildos, a lot of people assume that they're supposed to be hands-free things that you can just like... Yeah, like especially the L-shaped double dildos, not the like linear straight line ones. People are like, oh, the packaging says that my Kegel muscles are supposed to hold it inside of my body.
Right.
It's like, no, you really need to use them with a harness. So if you've tried to use the L-shaped double-ended dildos and you're like, this thing sucks, try it out with a harness. It's much better.
Good
They're not
tip.
For everybody, but I'm really angry that the way these things are marketed makes people think like, oh, I'm...
So much of the marketing isn't great. That's why they need you. They need me. They people like us who kind of know how to do it. So tell me real quick. This is very helpful. So your new podcast, Hot Brain. What are we going to find on there? Teach people, they're learning. It's not all sex, but a lot of sex and discussion and just what real life.
What I like about my relationship with Mark, again, is that he has now, I've given him the name Muggle Mark, meaning like he's like outside of the wizarding world of sexuality. He hates it. He's like, don't call me Muggle Mark.
Harry Potter.
I've like made it stick that, it's a Harry Potter reference. And like, I'm not a Potterhead, but I still appreciate Harry Potter.
Right.
But I think the word Muggle is so perfect for like, people outside of the world. But he is such an enthusiast about sex. He is like a huge cheerleader for all things sexuality, even before he met me. So he's really with the program. And, you know, if you're not a sex educator, you're not going to know all the right terminology necessarily. So what I love is that, like, sometimes I'm correcting him, but it's not like in a shamey way.
Right.
I think that people need it modeled. People need communication modeled. And like, by no means do we have this shit figured out. But I think that we've got good chemistry.
Yeah.
Just as friends and then lovers and people who cohabitate now. We're really attached at the hip in so many ways. And I think it's a really safe way for me to also be more candid in my sex education. I think that a podcast, as you might be aware, is so much easier than writing sometimes because people can hear your tone of voice and people aren't like, what do you mean by that? It's like you can speak a little bit more freely. And it's not that word choice isn't important, but I do feel like I'm able to speak to some more like abstract concepts in a podcast.
Right. Absolutely. Especially if he's asking questions. Yeah. And doing it, it's playful. And yeah.
But it's also really important. I think that Mark is such a great example of how you can really be a sensitive person and be masculinity and sensitivity aren't two different things.
Exactly. Please, we need more of that.
Yeah. And like, I have a pretty big, you know, according to Google Analytics, at least mostly female audience. But I think that it's been really great to get questions coming from guys who are like, you know, questions. And then I love hearing Mark address things from his point of view. And again, like sometimes I just am so in my world of sex education that I'm like, there's too many things swimming around in my brain. I need you to bring me back to like what it's like outside of talking about sex on a daily basis.
All the time. Exactly. That's why we just, exactly. We do it all the time, but we're doing the work, the important work.
Yeah. And I think it's just like,
It's a good match for you. I love this for you. The whole boyfriend thing and the connected. I love it so
much. It's about so much more than sex, though. I think that, I mean, he has like a political science background, so he teaches me a lot about kind of like community ways that communities can be more cohesive. Because I think that, I don't know, I struggle a lot with feeling like I'm a lone wolf who floats around from friend groups. Or it's like I've got a lot of friend groups, but I'm like, I don't want to, like, I got to pop around everywhere. Right. I'm afraid of people getting to know the truly sometimes broken feeling person inside of me. And I don't think I am broken, but I
know
have
what you mean,
so much vulnerable shit inside of me that I think that I have unconsciously kind of bounced around from people to people, not like burning bridges, but it's hard for me to just like fully be like, okay, you really want to know the landscape of my brain. It is difficult. Oh, you know, another thing that connects me with Mark a lot is that we both had OCD as children. Mm-hmm. And we both have anxiety today, but a lot of that was just like, recently I've been learning how my OCD is still very present in adulthood, just in different ways.
Okay.
And for me, a lot of that is feeling like I must confess things that aren't really like things I need to disclose to people, not in like an inappropriate way, but like just making sure it's okay that I did the lots of like needing validation, but also just like, just want to make sure that, you know, I did this and that it doesn't like mess up anything that you were trying to do. Or like, is it okay that I was thinking this thing?
Pleasing.
And like,
yeah, I do that really too, but that's up. OCD part. That's an OCD.
I mean, OCD has a lot of different
ways
of manifesting, like hoarding is technically in the DSM along with OCD.
She's looking at me, my assistant. I had a hoarding garage where I was had a lot of, I did. I have a lot of organizers. My garage was packed. You couldn't walk in. It was a bunch of different, literally organizers.
You got to organize your organizers.
Right. And that's all it was. And it was crazy.
Well, it is really hard. I mean, I definitely know how intense the emotional attachment to physical objects can be for me. And like, my basement is kind of organized, but there's like the box of things that have such strong emotions that I'm like, I don't care if they need to be thrown away or donate or whatever. I'm just like, I can't address that yet. Right. And I think that OCD, anxiety, depression are all things that can sometimes manifest as a result of trauma as like coping mechanisms.
So he's had that too. So you guys can sort of help because he gets it.
It's not like I need to explain the
weirdness. Or I'm sorry, or here's why I did it, or he gets you. Yeah, no, I totally get it. I think
I've just been really distant from that like part of my reality.
It's so scary to disclose to people, because are they going to judge me? Are they going to love me?
Well, and also OCD is the kind of thing that people are like, oh my God, I'm so OCD. And I'm like, I'm not personally offended when people say that, but I'm just like, no, it's
really a thing.
A unique situation mentally, in that you're fully aware of how ridiculous your thoughts and rituals are, but you're still just so stuck in it. And I think trauma in general can feel that way too. Like, you know that there is a block and you can't overcome it, yet you just don't know why. Right. I mean, so much of mental health feels that way.
So what's helped you the most, would you say, with all these things? Therapy, for sure.
Exercise, but not like exercise that can feel meditative. Yeah. So like going on hikes has been really helpful.
Nature's huge, yeah.
Meditation, although I love that meditation is the kind of thing that I was like, I don't know, it seems like a really lofty goal, you know? It seems so impossible.
Meditation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I realized, like, oh, just like trying and having your thoughts clear for like 2 seconds can be meditation.
Like, true. Meditation isn't for a minute. Like, that's what gave me permission to it. It was like when they were like, and I've done a lot over the years, but they were like, oh, it could just be a minute. I'm like, I got that. And then eventually you do a minute and you want to do more.
Another important thing that I literally was reminded of in my last therapy session last week is that medication is not supposed to make it all go away. No. It just makes it more manageable. And I'm like on a medication that I'm not having any allergic reaction to. My last one I did, no side effects. But I was like, why am I still having these like emotional breakdowns? And my therapist was like, you had a really triggering week. Like,
right.
The medication isn't going to make your triggers just vanish. You're still going to be triggered by things.
It just allows you to have some stability to kind of move on to other things. Because before the then you're just in the same loop.
Yeah.
So it kind of like allows you to see another perspective. It's still there, but then there's more accessible to you to actually start to make some other changes.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get it, girl. You're doing good work. Yeah. Zoe, thanks for being here.
Thanks
everyone's
so much,
check
Emily.
You out. I love seeing you, and then I'm going to get to see you all week at
I'm
the
so
show.
I'm so lucky.
I have to ask you some would you rathers. Last time you were here, we did some. Okay, ready?
Love this game.
All right. Would you rather have kinky sex or romantic sex?
Oh, that is such a... Oh, you got me there.
Girl.
I think overall romantic sex at present, kinky sex.
I know.
Like in this exact moment,
in this
kinky
moment,
sex.
Different. Overall, last year.
Overall romantic.
Okay, would you rather sleep with your best friend's parent or your parent's best friend?
My face is shocked right now. My parent's best friend or my best friend's parent. I guess best friend's parent, just to like get as far away from my family as possible.
Okay.
Right, but I'm like sorry to any friend that that would be so ugh.
Okay, let's see here.
Listen to me though. I'm like getting all judgy, but like I'm like I know so many people who have done that, and like it's such a thing. And like
what,
who am
I, best friend's parent or their best friend?
Like
all the time I've heard these things.
Who am I to judge?
Right.
Who can
we're
say?
Not judging. No, who can we don't say? Know. This is just a fun game.
I'm okay. Taking it so seriously.
I know. No, it's good though. Would you rather make a lot of noises during sex or a really loud noise during orgasm?
A lot of really loud noises during sex.
Okay.
Stay consistent.
Exactly. Would you rather fart uncontrollably when you come or cry inconsolably?
Oh, I mean, I've done both. I think I cry so much. I fart so much, too. Damn. I guess farting, because it's like so much of a release that it's like if you have any gas bubbles in your rectum, they will come out.
They will. Okay, awesome, Zoe. That is awesome. Congratulations on your podcast, Hot Brain.
Yay.
Everyone can try it and find you at Thongria.
Yeah, that has a link to just about everything. SpectrumBoutique.com is the shop. And if you ever have questions about sex products, we have a team of people who will answer all your sex questions in the Shop Spectrum Boutique DMs.
All right. And this will be all in the show notes as well. Thank you, Zoe, for being
Thanks
here.
Thanks so
Love
much.
Having you.
Bye.
Bye. All right, guys. Hope you enjoyed the show. Remember, if you like the show, share it with a friend. Please subscribe wherever you listen to the podcast. Write a review. We release 3 a week, and you never want to miss a show, do you? And I love hearing from you. So thanks to my amazing team, Ken, Kristen, Michelle, producer Jamie, and Michael. And thanks to all of you. Hey, was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.